గిరివరదారి యశోదానందన వ్రజ జనరంజన యమునతీరావణచారి జయ రాధమాధవ కుంజ బిహారి జయ రాధమాధవ కుంజ బిహారి జయ ఓం విష్ణుపాద పరమహంస పరివ్రాజకాచార్య శ్రోతృ అనంతకోటి వైష్ణవ బృందకి జయ నామాచార్య శ్రీల హరిదాస్ ఠాకూర్ కి జయ గ్రంథరా శ్రీమద్ భాగవతం కి జయ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ద అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్ All glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees. All glories, all glories, all glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ నారాయణం నమస్కృత్య నరం చైవ నరోత్తమం దేవీం సరస్వతీం వ్యాసం తతో జయముదీరయేత్ నష్టప్రాయేష్వ భద్రేషు నిత్యం భాగవత సేవయా భగవతీర్ ఉత్తమ శ్లోకే భక్తిర్భవతీ నైష్టికీ కృష్ణాయ వాసుదేవాయ దేవకీ నందనాయ చ నందగోపకుమారాయ గోవిందాయ నమో నమః. రీడింగ్ ఫ్రమ్ శ్రీమద్ భాగవతం కెంటో 1 చాప్టర్ 5 ఎంటైటిల్డ్ నారదస్ ఇన్స్ట్రక్షన్స్ ఆన్ శ్రీమద్ భాగవతం టెక్స్ట్ నంబర్ 10.
నయద్వచశ్చిత్రపదం హరేర్యశో జగత్పవిత్రం ప్రగృణీత కర్హిచిత్ తద్వాయసం తీర్థముషంతి మానసా నయత్ హంసా నిరమంత్యు శిక్షయా నయద్వచశ్చిత్రపదం హరేర్యశో జగత్పవిత్రం ప్రగృణీత కర్హిచిత్ తద్వాయసం తీర్థముషంతి మానసా నయత్ర హంసా నిరమంత్యు శిక్షయా నయత్వచిత్రపదం హరేర్యశో జగత్ పవిత్రం ప్రగృణీత కర్హిచిత్ తద్వాయ సంతీర్థముషంతి మానసా నయత్ర హంసా నిరమంత్యు శిక్షయా నయత్వచిత్రపదం హరేర్యశో జగత్ నయత్ర హంసా నిరమంత్యు శిక్షయా నయత్వచిత్రపదం హరేర్యశో జగత్ పవిత్రం ప్రగృణీత కర్హిచిత్ తద్వాయ సంతీర్థముషంతి మానసా నయత్ర హంసా నిరమంత్యు శిక్షయా నయత్వచిత్రపదం హరేర్యశో తద్వాయ సంతీర్థముషంతి మానసా నయత్ర హంసా నిరమంత్యు శిక్షయా మాతాజీస్ word to word translation na not yat that vachah vocabulary chitrapadam decorative harehe of the lord yashah glories jagat universe pavitram sanctified ప్రగృణీత డిస్క్రైబ్డ్ కరిహిచిత్ హార్డ్లీ తత్ దట్ వాయసం క్రోస్ తీర్థం ప్లేస్ ఆఫ్ పిల్గ్రిమేజ్ ఉషంతి థింక్ మానసా సెయింట్లీ పర్సన్స్ న నాట్ ఎత్ర వేర్ Hamsa, all perfect beings, Niramanti, take pleasure, Ushikshaya, those who reside in the transcendental abode. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. Those words which do not describe the glories of the Lord, who alone can sanctify the atmosphere of the whole universe, are considered by saintly persons to be like unto a place of pilgrimage for crows. Since the all perfect persons are inhabitants of the transcendental abode, they do not derive any pleasure there. Purport. Crows and swans are not birds of the same feather because of their different mental attitudes. The fruity workers are passionate men are compared to the crows, whereas the all perfect saintly persons are compared to the swans. The crows take pleasure in a place where garbage is thrown out, just as the passionate fruity workers take pleasure in wine and women and places for gross sense pleasure. The swans do not take pleasure in the places where crows are assembled for conferences and meetings. They are instead seen in the atmosphere of natural scenic beauty, where there are transparent reservoirs of water nicely decorated with the stems of lotus flowers in variegated colors of natural beauty. That is the difference between the two classes of birds. Nature has influenced different species of life with different mentalities, and it is not possible to bring them up into the same rank and file. Similarly, there are different kinds of literature for different types of men of different mentality. Mostly the market literatures which attract men of the crows categories are literatures containing refused remnants of sensuous topics. They are generally known as mundane talks in relation with the grass body and the subtle mind. They are full of subject matter described in decorative language, full of mundane similes and metaphorical arrangements. Yet with all that, they do not glorify the Lord. Such poetry and prose on any subject matter is considered a decoration of a dead body. Spiritually advanced men who are compared to the swans do not take pleasure in such dead literatures, which are sources of pleasure for men who are spiritually dead. These literatures in the modes of passion and ignorance are distributed under different labels, but they can hardly help the spiritual urge of the human being. And thus the swan-like spiritually advanced men have nothing to do with them. Such spiritually advanced men are called also manasa because they always keep up the standard of transcendental voluntary service to the Lord on the spiritual plane. This completely forbids fruitive activities for gross bodily sense satisfaction or subtle speculation of the material egoistic mind. Social literary men, scientists, mundane poets, theoretical philosophers and politicians who are completely absorbed in the material advancement of sense pleasure are all dolls of the material energy. They take pleasure in a place where rejected subject matters are thrown. According to Swami Sridhara, this is the place of prostitute hunters. But literatures which describe the glories of the Lord are enjoyed by the Paramahamsas who have grasped the essence of human activities.
ಓಂ ಅಜ್ಞಾನತಿಮಿರಂಧಸ್ಯ ಜ್ಞಾನಾಂಜನಶಲಾಕೆಯ ಚಕ್ಷುರೋನ್ಮಿಲಿತಂ ಯೇನ ತಸ್ಮೈ ಶ್ರೀ ಗುರವೇ ನಮಃ ಶ್ರೀಚೈತನ್ಯ ಮನೋಭಿಷ್ಟಂ ಸ್ಥಾಪಿತಂ ಯೇನ ಭೂತಲೇ ಸ್ವಯಂ ರೂಪ ಕದಾಮಯ್ಯಂ ತದಾತಿ ಸ್ವಪದಾಂತಿಕಂ ವಂದೇಹಂ ಶ್ರೀಗುರು ಶ್ರೀಯುತಾಪದಕಮಲಂ ಶ್ರೀಗುರೂನ್ ವೈಷ್ಣವಾಂಶ್ಚ ಶ್ರೀರೂಪಂ ಸಾಗ್ರಜಾತಾಂ ಸಹಗಣಾರಗುಣಾತಾನ್ವಿತಂ ತಾಂ ಸಜೀವಂ ಸಾದ್ವೈತಂ ಸಾವಧೂತಂ ಪರಿಜನಸಹಿತಂ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯದೇವಂ ಶ್ರೀರಾಧಾ ಕೃಷ್ಣಪದಾನ್ ಸಹಗಣಲಲಿತಾ ಶ್ರೀ ವಿಶಾಖಾನ್ವಿತಾಂಶ್ಚ ಹೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಕರುಣಾ ಸಿಂಧೋ ದೀನಬಂಧೋ ಜಗತ್ಪತೆ ಗೋಪೇಶ ಗೋಪಿಕಾ ಕಾಂತ ರಾಧಾಕಾಂತ ನಮೋಸ್ತುತೆ ತಪ್ತ ಕಾಂಚನ ಗೌರಾಂಗಿ ರಾಧೇ ವೃಂದಾವನೇಶ್ವರಿ
ऋषभानु सुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वांछा कल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्येव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे।
So we are reading from the first canto, fifth chapter, some of the very famous verses of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And these purports of Srila Prabhupada are also very profound and deep. Because these purports of Prabhupada wrote these purports before going to the West, especially when he was going through the struggles of trying to preach in India in the 1960s. So these especially the purports of Prabhupada in the first canto and second canto, they are very special because Prabhupada wrote these purports when he was going through intense struggles. So in these verses, Narada Muni is actually giving instruction to Vyasadeva to write one literature in which he can exclusively concentrate on the glorification of the Supreme Lord and the process of bhakti, the process of pure devotion. So the today's verse is actually talking about the nature of those literatures which does not contain the glorification of the Lord. These literatures which do not contain the glorification of the Lord, these literatures are compared to the place of pilgrimage for the crows, the place where the crows take pleasure. Essentially, they are compared to the garbage. And then in the next verse, Narada Muni will glorify the literatures which contain the glorification of the Lord. So I'll speak briefly about Vyasadeva, and then I will also go through some of the previous verses which are leading to the present verse. So sometimes some of these modern academicians, they point out, they criticize Vyasadeva by pointing out the birth of Vyasadeva. Apparently Vyasadeva was born through the union of Parashara Muni and Satyavati. When Satyavati was not married, later Satyavati was married to Shantanu Maharaj. It appears like the person who is born out of an illicit union. So people actually, they try to defame the character of Vyasadeva by talking about how Vyasadeva was born out of illicit union between Parashara Muni and Satyavati. But even if a person sees from that point of view, the Vyasadeva is born out of illicit union, but more important than the source of Vyasadeva is the contribution of Vyasadeva. For example, if you see lotus flower, so lotus flower is born in a mud. But in this world, when we want to compare anything beautiful, we compare with the lotus flower. Musk is something, it is so fragrant, we use in the worship of the Lord. But the origin of the musk is not something something great. Musk is actually is taken out from the back portion of a deer. And a conch shell is actually the bone of a fish, which is considered very impure. But
conch shell is used in the worship of the Lord. When you blow the conch shell, it actually removes the inauspiciousness. So similarly, that there are many things in this world, the source is impure, but still we appreciate lotus, musk and conch shell for their beauty, fragrance and the application in religious practices for the conch shell. So similarly, Vyasadeva's appearance is unconventional from the mundane point of view. It is objectional from the carnal perspective, but his contribution is something matchless and unprecedented. And Vyasadeva's contribution is impacting all the classes of the people. Both the ordinary people and also the highly elevated people. By the wide variety of literatures he has written, the ordinary people who are deeply in the modes of passion and ignorance, to elevate them he has written different literatures. And Vyasadeva's contribution in the form of the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the Paramahamsa Samhita, which is for the highly elevated people. So in that way, we can see the character of Vyasadeva. And another perspective, another point, we can see the birth of Vyasadeva. This birth of Vyasadeva, which happened by the union of Parashar Muni and Satyavati. And this story was written by Vyasadeva himself in the Mahabharata. So we can see the honesty of Vyasadeva. Generally, like, authors, they may want to hide their own mistakes. They may want to hide their own conditionings or their bad backgrounds. But or another extreme is that sometimes the authors, they may present their bad background in a shameless manner, which may agitate the readers to commit more mistakes. But Vyasadeva, he actually speaks about his background with honesty, at the same time with great sensitivity. And that is why I think the next verse only the Prabhupada gives a beautiful translation. He says that Tadvag Visargo Janataga Viplavo Yasmin Pratishlokam Abaddavatyapi Naman Yanantasi Ashonkitaniyat Shrinvanti Gayanti Grinanti Sadhava. In that verse, he says, sadhu means purified men who are thoroughly honest. So, Vyasadeva, we can see that with utmost honesty, he is presenting at the same time with great sensitivity. He himself is writing about his bad background. And if we see the contribution of Vyasadeva, the etymological meaning of every word we use in the Indian languages is not outside the purview of Vyasadeva's contribution. So Vyasadeva's books are like the law books for the entire humankind for all time to come. There are many writers who got Jnanapeeth Award by misinterpreting the different works of Vyasadeva. And some of them have got memorial. And all of their books are actually based on Vyasadeva. And these people have memorial, but Vyasadeva hardly has any memorial. So therefore, it is important to remember the contribution of Vyasadeva, especially on the occasion of Guru Purnima, which was also yesterday. Because Vyasadeva represents he is actually origin of all the gurus. Because all the spiritual masters, we say the particular asana is called as Vyasapeet, Vyasasana. Because one is supposed to speak according to the teachings of Vyasadeva. And there was another speaker, he made a very beautiful point about the character of Vyasadeva. Vyasadeva is the son of a great father, Parashar Muni. Parashar Muni is the author of Vishnu Puran. Parashar, and Vyasadeva is the grandson of Vasishtha Rishi. So if we see from the point of view of the ancestors of Vyasadeva, Vyasadeva is born in a great family lineage, the father and grandfather. And from the point of view of his own contribution, he had written so many literatures. Some people, they may be born in a great family lineage, but they may not have contributed anything. They may just want to take pride by quoting the family lineage in which they have taken birth. But their own contribution may be very meager. But Vyasadeva is born in a great family and his contribution is also great. And Vyasadeva also, he produced a great legacy. He had so many disciples. He entrusted those disciples with propagation of the different Vedas. And he also gave birth to Shukadeva Goswami, who was a Paramahamsa right from the birth. He was a liberated soul from the birth, and who became the first speaker of the Srimad Bhagavatam. There is a Subhashita which I read. The Subhashita says that to fight with those people who are actually known through their fathers, but who are not known through their sons. So there are people who are actually known through their, say, fathers or grandfathers. But much greater than that is actually to be known through one's own disciples or to be known through one's own sons. Because sometimes a person might have made great contribution also, but has that person produced a legacy? Has he produced a person who is even more greater than himself? As it is said that a leader who has not produced a proper succession, he is not a successful leader. So success without succession is a nonsense, a failure. So Vyasadeva, if you see from all points of view, his parentage, his own contribution, and his own son Shukadeva Goswami, from all point of view is great actually. Like for example, if you see Hiranyakashipu, he was the son of Kashyapa Muni. In that sense, he had a great parentage. And his own son is a great Mahabhagavata, Prahlad Maharaj. But what about he himself? What kind of a personality he was? He was one of the greatest asura the world had ever seen. Anga Maharaj, he was born in the dynasty of Dhruva Maharaj. And he himself was a great pious devotee king. But somehow he happened to produce a son who was a very demoniac in nature. So if you see, like different people had some shortcomings, either born in a low family or which no contribution, or the producing a son who was inferior. But Vyasadeva was great in all respects. In the Skanda Purana, it is said that Vyasa Chitta Sita Kashat Avachinnani Kanichet Anye Vyavahi Harantyetan Urukritya Grihadiva. So it says that these others make use of the small collections of the ideas. There are so many authors we see, so many authors of different literatures. All these authors, they make use of the small collection of the ideas they have carved out from the infinite sky of Vyasadeva's mind. So Vyasadeva's mind is infinite like the sky. So any author who has actually presented any idea in one's book, it's all actually coming from the infinite sky of Vyasadeva's mind. And they simply take advantage of the borrowed ideas like people who pick up things discarded from someone else's house. So in that sense, that Vyasadeva's mind is compared to the unlimited sky, indicating that just like the sky accommodates everything, so Vyasadeva's mind accommodates everything. It contains all the knowledge. And also, another point in Vyasadeva's mind being compared to the sky is that sky is the medium for the sound, which it transmits knowledge. So in other words, Vyasadeva's mind is the medium for transcendental sound, which is the basis of all kinds of knowledge. And all the thinkers, both on this planet and also on the higher planets, they simply make use of the contributions which Vyasadeva has given. So that is why there's a very famous saying which says that Vyaso Chishtam Jagat Sarvam. Whatever you see in this world, it is nothing but the Uchishta of Vyasadeva. It is nothing but the remnants of Vyasadeva. The whole world tastes nothing but the remnants of Vyasadeva's knowledge. There is a beautiful verse in the Narayana Kavacha Mantra, which comes in the 6th canto. The Narayana Kavacha Mantra, the different holy names or the different incarnations of the Lord are invoked, and then the prayer is offered to protect oneself from different dangers. May Lord Ram protect me from difficulties which a person experiences in the foreign lands, like that. Different incarnations of the Lord are invoked. So there Vyasadeva is invoked. Dvaipayano Bhagavan Aprabodat Buddhastu Pashanda Gana Pramadat. May the personality of Godhead in his incarnation as Vyasadeva protect me from all kinds of ignorance resulting from the absence of Vedic knowledge. Kalki Kale Kalamalat Prapatu Dharmavanayoru Kritavatara. So Vyasadeva, in that sense, we are greatly indebted to Vyasadeva for actually giving the Vedic knowledge. And Vyasadeva actually understanding the capacity of the people who will take birth in the Kali Yuga, just like a mother. Mother who understands the capacity of the child. Mother makes a chapati or a dosa. The mother actually, she makes the chapati into small pieces. Like, child may not have the capacity to eat the entire chapati or entire dosa. She makes it into small pieces. The child can actually take it. So similarly, Vyasadeva actually divided the Vedas. And then he wrote the Puranas and Itihasas. He made it into different chapters, Upanishads, Brahmanas, Samhitas, Aranyakas. Because when it is in the form of one big body of knowledge, just by seeing that one big body of knowledge, people will find it actually difficult to read that. And despite doing everything, still Vyasadeva felt a dissatisfaction. So at that time, Vyasadeva himself first did a self-introspection. And then he thought that perhaps I did not glorify the Supreme Personality of Godhead properly, therefore I am feeling dissatisfied. And then he also decided to consult his guru. So we can see, sometimes the people, they may consult the superiors, but they may not do self-introspection on their own. And sometimes, some people, they may only do self-introspection. They may not want to consult superiors. So then, because our own self-introspection has certain limitations. And sometimes, for every small thing we approach superior, certain things can be If we think, because Krishna has given intelligence to everyone, certain things, if we introspect, we can also understand on our own. So, therefore, both the things are required. One has to take individual initiative and do self-introspection. And at the same time, we also need to consult a superior. So, both are required. So, so if you see, like His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj was mentioning in a class, like Vyasadeva consulting his guru Narada Muni, that shows that at any stage of life, one should never consider oneself to be independent of the guru. So Vyasadeva, even after making such a great contribution, he could not find out the root cause of his dissatisfaction on his own. Like that Prabhupada writes in a place, like even the greatest erudite scholar may not be able to understand the root cause of his dissatisfaction on his own. So when he was dissatisfied, he consulted his guru. Of course, this is a spiritual dissatisfaction. Because this is a pastime which Vyasadeva is going through in order for Srimad Bhagavatam to take birth. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he consulted his guru when he was going through the other extreme of emotion. One is the dissatisfaction or a depression which Vyasadeva was going through. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was going through the emotion of ecstasy. So at that time he consulted his guru Ishwarapuri, what kind of a mantra you have given me? That since the time I started chanting this mantra, I'm getting these symptoms. I'm behaving like a madman. What kind of a mantra you have given? So there Prabhupada says that, even when a person is experiencing the symptoms of ecstasy, one should not consider oneself to be independent of the guru. So we can see one extreme is depression, another extreme is ecstasy. So this is covering the two end of the spectrum. So there cannot be any stage which can be beyond these two. So in that sense, at no stage one can consider oneself to be independent of the guru. And another place, Prabhupada explains that some examples of somebody who did not consult the guru and what happened to them. Bharat Maharaj, when he was becoming attached to the deer, he did not actually consult his spiritual master, and therefore he actually fell down from his spiritual position. So therefore he became a deer in the next life. And another place Prabhupada explains that when the Yadu Kumaras, when they actually disrespected the sages, when they made fun of the sages, at that time the sages actually cursed the Yadu Kumaras. You'll give birth to a iron club, which will be the cause of the destruction of your entire dynasty. At that time the Yadu Kumaras came back, but then the Yadu Kumaras did not actually reveal this to Krishna. They did not reveal this incident to Krishna, and that is also one of the mistake of the Yadu Kumaras. And therefore, if they had actually revealed to Krishna at that time itself, maybe Krishna would have given different solution. So therefore, that we can see that Vyasadeva, he actually chose to consult his spiritual master. And the position of Vyasadeva is such that Vyasadeva is accepted as an authority by all the sampradayas. Whether it is a Vaishnava sampradaya, whether it is a Advaita sampradaya, all the different schools, they accept Vyasadeva as a great acharya. And Vyasadeva, in the Mahabharata, when he wrote the Mahabharata, Vyasadeva's two particular aspects I want to mention. Vyasadeva wrote the Mahabharata And Vyasadeva was a person who was participating in the Mahabharata. He was coming in the Mahabharata in different instances. He would give advice to Dhritarashtra. Sometimes when a person is participating in the particular event, participating in the particular story, he may not be able to see the same story from a neutral perspective. Suppose a person is acting in a particular, say, movie or a drama. He becomes absorbed in that role that he would think he cannot accept, that he cannot actually see the, say, mistakes in the particular drama, or he cannot see the mistakes or the shortcomings in the particular drama. Like sometimes, when a person is absorbed in speaking, and we may not be able to perceive our own mistakes. So, but in the case of Vyasadeva, he was a participant in the Mahabharata, but at the same time, he wrote the Mahabharata from the neutral perspective, the word neutrality exactly does not convey the meaning. Like Vyasadeva wrote the Mahabharata from the platform of Udasina. Udasina means Vyasadeva was an active participant, but he was seeing from the higher perspective. That means he could see the shortcomings of even the great personalities like Bhishma Dev. He could see the shortcomings of even the great personalities like Yudhishthira Maharaj. And while writing the Mahabharata, he did not actually hide even some of the shortcomings of these great personalities. At the same time, Vyasadeva did not hide some of the good qualities exhibited by personalities like Duryodhan, who is Kali personified. So therefore, that is the position of Vyasadeva. Despite being the participant in that Leela, he could actually see the whole event of Mahabharata from a higher perspective, and he could write. And Vyasadeva represents the greatest school of critic. Like in the modern world, we see that there are people who are critics of actually different events or different decisions made by the government or other things. But many times the critics, they tend to disproportionately highlight a particular mistake. Some wrong decisions need to be criticized, but the point is, many times they disproportionately highlight that mistake, and certain Himalayan mistakes are not obvious to their eyes. They completely hide those mistakes only. And especially in the current media, such critics are an abundant number. They will completely neglect some of the Himalayan blunders committed by different leaders. And they will disproportionately highlight some mistakes, and they keep bombarding the people with those mistakes with certain propaganda. So therefore, to be a great critic, it requires actually a very fine intelligence, and it requires a great loyalty to Dharma. It requires great loyalty to Dharma. So, in the modern world, we see so-called neutral people. But the so-called neutral people, they portray themselves as neutral people. But these neutral people, they end up siding the powerful wrong people with the wrong agenda. That's why it is said that the hottest places in hell are reserved for those who in times of great moral crisis maintain their neutrality. Sometimes in times of great moral crisis, certain people, they tend to play the neutral card. And hottest places on hell are reserved for them. So Vyasadev actually, he did not actually, he was not like this modern so-called neutral people. Other Vyasadev was the greatest critic. Like he did not, he highlighted the mistake of even great people, but according to the proportion it deserved. And he also highlighted some of the good things done by the some of the wrong people like Duryodhana and others. So therefore, there's something about Vyasadev I wanted to mention. So this Vyasadev, after writing even such literatures, still he felt dissatisfied. So when he approached Narada Muni, Narada Muni speaks, Bhavata anudita prayam yasho bhagavato malam yenai vasau na tushyeta manye tad darshanam kilam. Say that Bhavata anudita prayam, you have not sufficiently described the glories of the spotless Lord Krishna. And because your mind could never be satisfied with Vedanta, I think that writing the Vedanta Sutras is insufficient. Huh. So, Narada Muni is immediately diagnosing anudita prayam. Perhaps you have not described the glories of the Supreme Lord sufficiently. That is the reason for your dissatisfaction. So then Vyasadeva says that, but then I have written the Vedanta Sutra. So Vedanta Sutra is considered to be the greatest philosophical thesis actually. One of the greatest philosophical thesis of Vyasadeva is Vedanta Sutra. But then Narada Muni points out, but I consider the Vedanta Sutra to be deficient. It is incomplete or it is inferior because you being the writer of Vedanta Sutra, you yourself are not satisfied. Then how can you expect that the readers of Vedanta Sutra will experience complete satisfaction? So therefore, Radhanath Maharaj mentioned in a class that even our greatest achievements are hollow unless we have achieved a measure of inner satisfaction. So Vedanta Sutra, it is one of the greatest philosophical thesis, especially in any traditional Vedic Gurukul. They learn the different branches, different Vedangas. Like they learn Vyakarana, Nyaya Shastra and Mimamsa Shastra. And the purpose of studying these three subjects is to ultimately study the Vedanta Sutra. So each of these Vyakarana, Nyaya, Mimamsa, they themselves are like a great ocean in themselves, and they are like tools to understand Vedanta Sutra. But Vyasadeva wrote the Vedanta Sutra, but still he felt it. Like deficient, he felt dissatisfaction. So the Vedanta Sutra, actually it is the conclusion of the Vedic knowledge written in the Sutra format. To give the conclusion, and that too in a precise manner, that requires a great scholarship actually. So sometimes we may give the conclusion, but if it actually spans volumes of books, which people don't have the capacity to read so many volumes of books, and they don't have the time and energy to read, then that's not such a great contribution. Or sometimes people present very precisely some 4 words, 5 words, sometimes we present some anecdotes or abbreviation, something. But in that, so much of essence is missed out. Then such work is also not great work. Sometimes suppose the image compression is there. Suppose the image is compressed, but the compressed image does not look if it does not look close to the original image. The original image is a tree, but the compressed image looks like a cat. Then what is the use of the compression? So to present the conclusion at the same time, to present without actually missing out any of the essence, that requires a great level of scholarship. And Vyasadeva presented the Vedanta Sutra. But still he felt dissatisfaction. And therefore, Narada Muni is pointing out that perhaps you have not glorified the Supreme Personality of God. So, Srimad Bhagavatam is compared to the ripened fruit of the Vedic knowledge. Nigama Kalpataror Galitam Phalam. And Vedanta Sutra is one step before the Srimad Bhagavatam. What is one step before Srimad Bhagavatam? What is the one step before the ripened fruit? Is the unripened fruit. So Vedanta Sutra is a fruit which is like a 50% ripened or 80% ripened. It is an unripened stage. And the Vedanta Sutra is nothing but the conclusion of all the Upanishads. Upanishad means Vedanta. Conclusion of the Vedas is Upanishads. So Upanishads are like, we can say they are like the flowers of the tree, flowers of the Vedic tree. That after the flower will come the fruit. So the Upanishads are the stage before the Vedanta Sutra. And before the Upanishads, the stage before the Upanishads are the Aranyakas. And the stage before the Aranyakas are the Samhitas, and the stage before that is the Brahmanas. Just like in the growth of a tree, how the tree grows through various stages, from the seed to a sapling, and then it goes through actually branches and leaves, and then it starts producing the flower, which is in the budding stage, and then the flower also goes through different stages, and then it starts producing the fruit, and that goes through different stages. Similarly, all these works of Vyasadeva, they are all within the Vedic tree, but they can be compared to the different stages of the Vedic tree. And just you will feel complete satisfaction only when you eat a ripened mango, which is sweet. When you read sometimes a mango looks very ripe, but then if it is bitter, then you don't feel satisfaction. So similarly, that Vyasadeva did not feel that satisfaction even after actually giving the Vedanta Sutra. And then Narada Muni said, Yata Dharmada Yascharta Munivaryanu Kirtita Natata Vasudevasya Mahima Hyanuvarnita. He said, so at this point Vyasadeva is telling that I have written different Puranas. In those Puranas, I have described the pastimes of the Supreme Lord. In Padma Purana and different Puranas, I have described the pastimes of the Supreme Lord. Then Narada Muni says, but then you have not described the glories of Vasudeva. I understand that you have described the glories of Vasudeva in different Puranas, but you have not described them as much as you have described Dharma, Artha, Kama and Moksha as the goals of human life. Even though these goals are much inferior to the glories of Vasudeva. The goal of Krishna Prema or the goal of the Lord's glories, that is the Purushartha Shiromani. That is the crest jewel of all the goals. Although that is the crest jewel of all the goals, but you do not give due attention to that particular goal, the way you have given attention to Dharma, Artha, Kama and Moksha, to that extent you have not actually glorified the Supreme Personality of God. Although Lord Vasudeva is the crest jewel of all the human goals, you have not described them as the goal of the human form of life. And in fact, in many places, you have described the glories of Krishna as the means to attain moksha. So therefore, how can your mind be satisfied when there is a lack of regard for that which should have been given the highest regard? So there is at least one thing in the life that many things in our life we do with some expectation. We perform many activities with some expectation in mind. But there should be at least one activity in life we should be performed without any expectation. So that is actually the service to Krishna. So the service to Krishna should not be used for something. But when we perform the devotional service for actually as a means to attain something, that means we are not giving the due attention to devotional service. Therefore, Narada Muni is pointing out the defect. Your mind is not satisfied, although you have glorified the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but many places you have actually described that as a means to attain moksha. But then Vyasadeva says in response, but then in different places, I have described the glories of Krishna and the path of bhakti as the highest goal. Like I have written the Mahabharata, in that only I have described the Bhagavad Gita. In that I have described about, I have given the verses Sarvadhaman Parityajya, etc. In that I have described the glories of Krishna as the highest goal. So then Vyasadeva says that, but I understand you have described the glories of Krishna as the highest goal, but you have not done it repeatedly. You have not done it repeatedly because something which is the highest thing, it should be repeated so that the people understand that highest thing. So normally in a public speaking point of view, when somebody is actually repeating certain point, from a public speaking perspective, that means people will think, oh, maybe this person forgot what is the next point. Therefore, he is trying to speak the same thing again and again. But from the point of view of the Shastra, something which is the highest goal that needs to be repeated, that is one of the important principles. In fact, it is said that Ananda Mayo Vyasat, that means the Supreme Lord's glory should be repeated. So your mind will be satisfied only when you describe very clearly with repetition the glories of the Lord, since these glories alone are finally the most excellent. And then Narada Muni speaks the present verse. Nayat vachas chitra padam harer yasho jagat pavitram pragrinita karhichit tadvayasam tirtha mushanti manasa nayatra hamsa niramantyu shikshaya. So here Narada Muni says, those books, those works, which are written very attractively, nayat vachas chitra padam, there are many books which are written written in nice metaphorical language, very wonderful poetry, lot of alankaras are used. But if those works do not contain the glories of the Lord, and what is the nature of the glories of the Lord? Why the emphasis that a book should contain the glories of the Lord? Why it is emphasized? Because the glories of the Lord, they only purify the author, the hearer, the speaker, and the entire world. Jagat Pavitram. Because the glories of the Lord, that is like the Atma. Just like a person, he is wonderfully decorated, but the person is dead. So what is the use of a decoration on the dead body? Bhagavad Bhakti Heenasya Jati Shastram Japastambaha Apranasyaiva Dehasya Mandanam Lokaranjanam. Without the bhakti to the Lord, whether the birth, high birth, or the Shastric knowledge, or tapasya, all these are like the decorations and a dead body. So therefore, if a book does not contain the glorification of the Lord, but it is written in a very metaphorical language, then such a book is like the decoration on a dead body. జగత్ పవిత్రం ప్రగృణీత కరిగిచిత్. అండ్ సచ్ బుక్స్ ఆర్ కన్సిడర్డ్ బై ద డివోటీస్ హూ హ్యావ్ క్యాప్చర్డ్ ద మైండ్ ఆఫ్ ద లార్డ్ టు బి ద ప్లేస్ ఫర్ ద క్రోస్. జగత్ పవిత్రం ప్రగృణీత కరిగిచిత్ తద్ వాయసం తీర్థం. సో ద బుక్ విచ్ డస్ నాట్ కంటైన్ ద గ్లోరిఫికేషన్ ఆఫ్ ద లార్డ్, ఇట్ ఈస్ లైక్ ద ప్లేస్ వేర్ ద క్రోస్ టేక్ ప్లెజర్. సో సమ్ ఆఫ్ ద ఆచార్యస్ దే గివ్ యాక్చువల్లీ మెనీ డిఫరెంట్ మీనింగ్స్. అఫ్ కోర్స్ ఐ విల్ జస్ట్ హైలైట్ సమ్ మీనింగ్స్. సమ్ ఆచార్యస్ సే దట్ ఇట్ ఈస్ లైక్ ద ప్లేస్ వేర్ ద క్రోస్ టేక్ ప్లెజర్. దట్ మీన్స్ పీపుల్ హూ ఆర్ లైక్ క్రోస్, కామినాం రతిస్థానం. దట్ మీన్స్ లస్టీ పీపుల్, దే టేక్ ప్లెజర్ ఇన్ సెన్షువస్ టాపిక్స్, ఆర్ దే టేక్ ప్లెజర్ ఇన్ ద హౌసెస్ ఆఫ్ ప్రాస్టిట్యూట్. సో ద బుక్ విచ్ డస్ నాట్ కంటైన్ ద గ్లోరిఫికేషన్ ఆఫ్ ద లార్డ్, ఇట్ ఇస్ యాక్చువల్లీ ఇట్ ఇస్ లైక్ ద ప్లేస్ ఫర్ ద క్రోస్, ఆర్ ఇట్ ఇస్ ద ప్లేస్ వేర్ ద లస్టీ పీపుల్ టేక్ ప్లెజర్. అండ్ నయత్ర హంస ఇట్ ఇస్ సెడ్ దట్ తద్వాయసం తీర్థం ఉషంతి మానస. అండ్ సచ్ బుక్స్ విల్ నెవర్ బి టేకన్ ప్లెజర్ బై ద డివోటీస్ ఆఫ్ ద లార్డ్. సో వాట్ ఇస్ ద మీనింగ్ ఆఫ్ ద వర్డ్ మానస? మానస మీన్స్ డివోటీస్ సిచ్యువేటెడ్ ఇన్ ది మైండ్ ఆఫ్ ద లార్డ్. ఆర్ డివోటీస్ హూ ఆర్ ఆల్వేస్ థింకింగ్ ఆఫ్ ద మైండ్ ఆఫ్ ద లార్డ్. లైక్ స్వయంభూ ముని ఇస్ టెలింగ్ టు ధ్రువ మహారాజ్, సత్వం హరేర్ అనుధ్యాత తత్పుంసాం అపి సమ్మత. యు ఆర్ అ పర్సన్ హు ఆర్ కాన్స్టెంట్లీ రిమెంబరింగ్ ద లార్డ్. వై ఆర్ యూ బిహేవింగ్ లైక్ దిస్? వై ఆర్ యూ యాక్చువల్లీ indulge in this excessive violence towards the yakshas? Or Lord Vishnu tells Dhruvasamuni, sadavo hrudayam mayam sadunam hrudayam tvaham. So manasa refers to Dhruvasamuni. Lord Vishnu says that my devotees reside in my mind, they reside in my heart. So manasa refers to devotees situated in the mind of the Lord. Or manasa can refer to the sons of Lord Brahma who are born from Brahma's mind. So it refers to personalities like the four Kumaras. Or manasa can refer to sattva pradane manasi, those whose minds are predominantly in sattva guna. Or Prabhupada gives us such a profound understanding in his purport. Manasa refers to spiritually advanced men who keep up the standard of transcendental voluntary service to the Lord on the spiritual plane. So devotional service to the Lord, it is ultimately voluntary. Like one purport, one verse in the 8th canto. Swayambhu Munu is telling, he says that is telling about the nature of the Lord. The Supreme Lord is he is inspired by none other than himself. The Lord actually performs different activities in this world, creation, maintenance and destruction, but he is inspired by himself. He is self inspired. So every person, when a person is rendering devotional service, at least at a certain point one has to come to the point of doing on one's own inspiration. Because initially we may be performing something because of being pushed by others. Sometimes we may be performing something because of a fear factor or because of being pushed by others. But those fear factor or being pushed by others, that cannot go for a long time. So ultimately one has to be self-inspired to do something. So that is why manasa refers to those who voluntarily make the decision of rendering devotional service. And in this way there are many meanings of the word manasa. So such manasas they never take pleasure in literatures. Niramanti. Niramanti means nitaram ramanti. Nitaram ramanti means they never take pleasure. Like sometimes, because we are in the sadhaka stage, we ourselves go through different anarthas. Like sometimes we feel, oh, how long I keep on reading Bhagavatam? We feel like taking a break from the Bhagavatam or break from chanting. So sometimes we feel like taking pleasure in some other topic. Huh. Like we are not just like, we want some other topic to divert our mind at the same time, not go into the adharmic this one. But Manasa refers to highly elevated people who never take pleasure. Nitaram Ramanti, who never take pleasure in any topic other than actually glorification of the Lord. Of course, sometimes as part of the service, we may have to read different books written by who may not be devotees. Those books may not contain the glories of the Lord. But at least we should not take pleasure in those books. We may read those books for the sake of certain service, for using, for actually presenting Krishna consciousness with some relevant examples, etc. But we should always, our aspiration is that we want to take pleasure in the glorification of the Lord. That is why, like when Prabhupada mentioned that chant Hare Krishna and be happy, that means, it means that you chant Hare Krishna in such a way that our source of pleasure is only in chanting Hare Krishna. That we don't seek actually the pleasure in anything other than the glorification of the Lord. So that is the meaning of the word ni ramanti. They never take pleasure in anything other than the glorification of the Lord. And then Vishnu Chakotipad writes some profound point. Like Vishnu Chakotipad gives an argument. Nayat vachas chitra padam harer yashu. So nayat vacha. Vacha means words which do not contain the glorification of the Lord. But we see within the Bhagavatam itself, if we take several verses in the Bhagavatam, which may not contain apparently the glorification of the Lord. Like there are several chapters which simply contain description of the different dynasties. Son of this king is this particular person. Like that, there are several verses which simply contain the description of the dynasties. Like one may wonder, where is the glorification of the Lord in these verses? So then from that point of view, even in the Bhagavatam, there are several verses because they do not contain the glorification of the Lord. Can the Bhagavatam also be considered as a place which the crows take pleasure? There are some sections of the Bhagavatam which we read, apparently it may agitate the minds. Like when Agnidra is actually going to get married to Purvachitti, the description of the Apsara Purvachitti, such a graphic description is there. Sometimes when you read the description, it may agitate the minds also. So one may wonder, from that point of view, even the Bhagavatam contains such a sensuous topics. Can Bhagavatam also be considered as a Vayasam Tirtham, the place for the crows? And also, on the other hand, there are other Vedic literatures. Every literature contains actually glorification of the Lord. Whether it is Padma Puran or Vishnu Puran or Brahma Vavirtha Puran or even the Puranas in the Tamoguna, every literature will contain glorification of the Lord. So then how can they be considered Vayasam Tirtham? So this argument is proposed by Vishnu Chakotipad. So, and then he gives a counter argument. He says that the word vacha, nayat vacha means, is not just the individual word, but vacha means the import of the discussion. What is the conclusion of every section? So in the Bhagavatam, if you see, even when there is a description of the dynasty, the conclusion of the description of the dynasty it will lead to the story of some particular Mahabhagavata devotee. It will lead to the conclusion of pure devotional service. Like Shukadev Goswami will describe the dynasty of different kings, and suddenly he will put a sudden break on Ambarish Maharaj. And then he'll put a sudden break on Ambarish Maharaj, and then in two chapters he will describe Ambarish Maharaj in great detail. So in that way, that is the conclusion of that particular, even when you read Puranjan story or Agnidra, Puruchiti story, the conclusion of that story is pointing out to the pure devotional service. So in that sense, every section of the Bhagavatam, it is ultimately actually concluding with the glorification of the Lord and the glorification of the path of devotional service. On the other hand, in the case of the other literatures, Vedic literatures, although they do contain glorification of the Lord, but there are several sections in other Vedic literatures, they glorify the different other devatas, and they glorify actually the paths other than Bhakti Yoga, the path of fruitive activities or path of Jnana Marga. Because they were written by Vyasadev in order to elevate, with the aim of gradually elevating people who are in the Rajoguna and Tamoguna to the higher platforms. So, like, from one point of view, like Vyasadev's work, like Vyasadev wrote so many literatures in order to gradually elevate people. Just like in a school, there's a gradual elevation of a person from first standard, second standard, third standard. So for a first standard person, if he actually teach the syllabus of the 10th standard student, first standard student does not have the adhikar for hearing the 10th standard subject, then it will be like, he will not be able to actually understand that. That's why we have, to speak the glories of the holy name to the faithless is considered an offense. That is like teaching the 10th standard subject to the first standard student. But then, suppose if a person has come to the 10th standard, but if we still keep teaching that person the first standard subject or the second standard subject, then that is also a mistake. So, Vyasadev, in one sense, to elevate the people from the first standard to second standard to third standard, he actually, by seeing the adhikar of the different people, he prescribed different paths of fruitive activities, jnana marga, etc. But somebody who has come to the elevated stage, like for them, okay, now what is higher for me? What is there for me? How can I progress further? Like for them, he has not given something actually substantial. So he did not produce one literature which does not contain exclusive glorification of the Lord. That is Srimad Bhagavatam. So therefore, when we read these verses, for example, like Vishnu Chakravarti Bhas purport, when we read, if we see all the other literatures written by Vyasadeva, according to his purport, they are also like the place for the crows. And a few verses later, Narada Muni would say that, Jugupsitam dharma kritenu shasata. Whatever you have done is actually abominable. It is condemnable. So that means like all the other literatures written by Vyasadev, are they all a mistake? Are they all something like abominable? So I'll just briefly mention on this point, just few minutes. Like for example, and Prabhupada, if you read Prabhupada's purports also, Prabhupada writes a very strong purports in these sections. But the same Prabhupada, there are several letters of Prabhupada where he says that, in one letter to Janardhan, he says that because the less intelligent class of men want to hear stories, for them, the Vedic idea or concept was explained in 18 Puranas and Mahabharata. And if I get good assistance, I can overflood your country with stories so nice and instructive. Another letter to Satyabhama, where Prabhupada says that you will have ample opportunity to educate children and write books for them, because there is sufficient matter for publishing such books from the Puranas, Mahabharata, Srimad Bhagavatam and many other allied literatures. And then another letter to Dinanath Mishra. I have to translate all the Puranas, Mahabharata and many other theistic literatures written by Gaudiya Acharyas. Like that, there are many letters where Prabhupada is expressing a desire, oh, I want to write the Puranas, I want to give the Vedas, I want to give the Upanishads, etc. But if you read these purports in the first canto, or when you read the verses, it appears that all the other literatures written by Vyasadeva, they are all a mistake, or a jugupsidam, or condemnable, they are the place for the crows. So one may think, that means like all these literatures, like a place for the crows, they are a mistake. Or no, they are not a mistake. We can say they are incomplete. They are incomplete. Vyasadeva's contribution was incomplete. So the main focus of Narada Muni's instruction to Vyasadeva is not actually criticism of the other literatures written by Vyasadeva, but the heart of Vyasadeva's instruction is that you are not sufficiently glorified the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You are not exclusively glorified the path of pure devotion. Because the same Narada Muni who is speaking these verses, the same Narada Muni elsewhere in the Bhagavatam 11th canto, he says that Shraddham Bhagavatam Shastre Anindam Anyatra Chapihi. Have faith in the Srimad Bhagavatam. At the same time, do not criticize the other Vedic literatures. The same Narada Muni who spoke this Jugupsitam verse, he spoke that verse in the 11th canto. So sometimes, we may catch one verse, and then in trying to follow one verse without trying to understand the heart of that verse, we may end up not following the other verse. That is like when there are two bulls are fighting, in trying to protect one bull, we end up killing the other bull. So then you end up committing a great sin. You may end up committing a great offense. So therefore, we have to protect both the bulls. So therefore, the essence of actually Narada Muni's instruction in this fifth chapter is that you have to actually glorify the Supreme Personality of God. And another way by which we can see is that, in fact, especially this point made by Vishnu Chakotipat, like all the other literatures written by Vyasadeva, they are like the place for the crows. That means like whether Vedanta Sutra, all the Purana, they are like the place for the crows. So this is a very strong statement. But if you see from another perspective, like this is a statement made by Narada Muni from a very high platform. So when we don't actually understand the gravity of the platform from which Narada Muni is speaking, without understanding the gravity of that platform, when we try to speak that statement and when we try to like disrespect the other literatures, we may end up committing some offense also. Like for example, there's a multi-storied building. Suppose there's a tallest multi-storied building, some 200 story building is there. So something like a common people, they get astonished by such a multi-storied building. But even that multi-storied building, it will appear like a dot for a person who is traveling in an airplane. For a person who is traveling in an airplane, even that multi-story building will be like a dot. So Vedanta Sutra is like, all these Purana, Vedanta Sutra is like the tallest building available on the earth. But even that Vedanta Sutra is considered like a dot for a person who is traveling on the airplane. So Narada Muni is actually he is traveling in the airplane, from that platform he is actually seeing all the other literatures written by Vyasadeva. But our situation may be, we are actually in the ground level, or we may be in the fourth floor of a building, or we are in the eighth floor of a building, and we have got the video recording of the view of the person who was traveling in the airplane. The person who was traveling in the airplane, he took a video and he actually took a video. In that video, even that tallest building appeared like a dot. And somehow we have got the video recording. And by seeing that video recording, we are actually saying that, oh, all these literatures are like a dot. But actually our situation is, something like we may be in the fifth floor or sixth floor of a building. So therefore, because Narada Muni, Narada Muni is speaking from that platform, and he is saying that even all the other literatures, he is apparently condemning the other literatures, but the essence of Narada Muni's instruction is that he is actually pointing out to the glorification of the Lord. Like for example, when a doctor is actually giving guidance to the diabetic patient, he speaks about how the sweets are harmful to the health. But when the doctor is speaking about that, his intention is not to criticize the sweets, but his intention is to, he wants to actually stress to that particular patient to avoid actually eating the sweets. That is his intention. But his actual intention is not to criticize the sweets. Like for example, a spiritual master, suppose when he's speaking to certain brahmacharis, and suppose a brahmachari is he wants to continue the brahmachari ashram, but he's in two minds or something, he's having certain difficulty. A spiritual master may speak about the different difficulties in the grihastha ashram. Sometimes he may use certain strong words about the grihastha ashram. But his intention is not to criticize the grihastha ashram. His intention is to actually encourage that person to continue the brahmachari ashram. Because all the ashramas are actually equally glorious. Because all the ashramas have the equal opportunity to go back to Godhead. And grihastha ashram is functioned as the foundation of all the other ashramas. But sometimes a spiritual master, to encourage that particular brahmachari, he may apparently speak something critical about the grihastha ashram. So similarly, Narada Muni is speaking critically about the other literatures written by Vyasadeva. He is calling them also as the place for the crows. The place in which the crows take pleasure. But that is not his actual intention. His actual intention is that you have not described one literature in which you have not exclusively glorified the Lord. Otherwise, the same Narada Muni would not have mentioned the 11th canto, Shraddham Bhagavatam Shastri Anindam Anyatra Chapihi. So that is one point we can actually see. And I will conclude with this Bhaktivinoda Thakur's quote in one of his actually essay which he wrote on the Srimad Bhagavatam, very profound, just one small paragraph. So, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that, you must yourself knock at the door of the inexhaustible store of the truth, from which the former sages drew their wealth. So, go up to the fountain head of the truth, where no pilgrim meets with a disappointment of any kind. Vyasa did it and obtained what he wanted. We have been advised to do so. Liberty then is the principle which we must consider as the most valuable gift of God. We must not allow ourselves to be led by those who lived and thought before us, and we must think for ourselves and try to get further truths which are still undiscovered. In the Bhagavata, we have been advised to take the spirit of the Shastras and not the words. The Bhagavata is therefore a religion of liberty, unmixed truth and absolute love. So, this is something which I wanted to share about today's verse. So, in brief, what we discussed today, we discussed something about the position of Vyasadeva, and I discussed something about the dissatisfaction of Vyasadeva, important of consulting the spiritual master. And then we discussed Narada Muni's guidance to Vyasadeva, how he actually diagnosed the root cause of Vyasadeva's dissatisfaction. And we also discussed at the end about the statements which show that Narada Muni criticizing Vyasadeva about the different other literatures written by Vyasadeva, about that I try to share some understanding. So I'll stop here. I'll not take any questions now. I have three announcements to make. Just 2 minutes. You can just hear these announcements carefully. So on the 125th anniversary of Srila Prabhupada's appearance day anniversary, we are having actually a very special celebration. We are going to celebrate in collaboration with Govardhan Eco Village. We are having a 10-day Krishna festival. So in this 10-day Krishna festival, there are various ways by which you can actually participate in this festival. You can volunteer for different services. You can volunteer in content creation, making clips, videos, dramas, and contests. And you can create awareness and promotion. You can create awareness and promote in the social media and in the WhatsApp groups. You can contact different celebrities and invite them. And you can actually encourage them to attend the events. And even you can even encourage them to actually make different performances. And you can also find some partnership for sponsoring the events. And you can do video editing or shooting skills. And also you can actually volunteer in marketing in the social media or TV or in the print media. And also you can help in physically in shooting at the temple. You can also contribute in the form of the donations. And you can write contents and you can do event promotion and report in different happenings and initiatives. And there is also support team who have skill in managing the tasks or the people. You can also see in the website. The second announcement is that in this Krishna festival, there is a way by which children also can participate. You can actually celebrate your children's natural talents, and you can showcase the children's talents to the world by sharing a 120 seconds video of your children exhibiting certain talent, and they will be actually shown during the Krishna fest, especially between 23rd and 27th. During these days, between 5 and 6 p.m., the different talents of the children will be showcased. And the third announcement is that there is a short film contest. One can make a video of 2 minutes to 15 minutes and the following 4 themes: Addiction Free India, Save the Mother Earth, Reviving India's Culture, Bhagavad Gita for Millennials. So the last date for submission is 15th August 2021. Huh. So we can also see these details in the ISKCON Chowpatty website. So Grantharan Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So thank you very much for your patient attention. Hare Krishna.